Well, friends, my name is Austin. I'm one of the pastors here, and our job and mission and vision at Pine Lake is to help people find and follow Jesus together. And so we really want to spend time in each one of our services getting to know each other, to building relationships and friendships. And the way that we do that is we invite you over the next 5 minutes to grab some coffee and some donuts. And as you go, just get to know somebody by asking a question. And we give you a little prompt this morning to help you get to know each other. And so what would you do with one extra hour? What would you do with one extra hour today? Talk and we'll see you back in 5 minutes. Well, church, it's good to be with you this morning. We are in the midst of starting a new series for Lent. And if you don't know, Lent is the 40 days in preparation from Ash Wednesday to Easter. And we are just excited about starting a series called When You Pray. There's two words in Matthew's gospel in chapter 6. He says two words consistently is when you. And this sets up for the disciples and all the people there is like when you pray or when you fast. It was almost so much of an instruction that Jesus didn't hope that we would pray. He didn't believe that if we prayed, but it was an expectation that his disciples would pray. And so this series is kind of looking at what does it look like for us as people who are wanting to pray and become like Jesus. And that's what we're talking about this whole year in our discipleship of Jesus and our apprentices of Jesus. We have like three main things that we are trying to accomplish as disciples of Jesus, that we are wanting to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. This is the life of us as disciples and apprentices of Jesus. This is what our life revolves around, these three things. And then when we're talking about prayer, I was reading up, and there's a man named Honi. And Honi was a man that he believed that even if God's people could not hear him, he believed that God could still hear them. And so he went out with his staff and he started to make a circle, 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees, 360 degrees. And once the circle was complete, he dropped to his knees, he raised his hands to heaven, and he prayed, "Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy on your children." And as he prayed, as his prayers ascended to heaven, raindrops descended to the earth. But Honi stayed and prayed. "Not for such rain I have prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns." So from sprinkles to a torrential downpour, Honi stayed and prayed. "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness." And it began to rain calmly and peacefully. And then Honi, the rainmaker, returned to his home in Jerusalem. This is a story that is shared by the people of Israel of the morning of how Honi called rain on a desolate and dry land in Israel. And this morning, as we talk about prayer and this example of Honi, we need to remember that when you pray, the routine appointments become divine appointments. That the routine of your daily moments in a matter of an instant can become divine appointments. And so will you join me as we look into scriptures to flesh out this idea of how we live from the routine to the divine in our daily lives. If you will turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, we're going to be sitting in the first 6 verses. And so if you have a Bible in front of you, we always encourage you, whether that's digital or physical, to bring it and to read along with us. It says this. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, a mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, just as Pastor Becca reminded us this morning, that you have taught your people to pray. And then you remind us over and over that you long for us to be with you, to set aside time just to be in your presence. And if it's been a long time since we've been in prayer, it doesn't mean that you don't want us. Holy Spirit, would you just send your presence among this place? Would it fall sweetly and gently upon us? Would you open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our heart to be open to what you have for us this morning? We ask this in your name. Amen. I remember this last couple weeks ago, we had had back-to-back nights of meetings. And then we came home Thursday. It's getting towards the end of the week, and it's just that time, and maybe you've experienced this, where you just didn't get all the things done that you needed to be done, like whether it's like work stuff or home stuff or, you know, even just texting a friend. And I remember coming home late, and dinner was ready, and I got to the table, and I was hungry. I would say, actually, the truth be told, I was hangry. I don't know if you've ever gotten there before, where you like sit down and you know if you have even the nicest question of like, how was your day, honey? You'd be like, don't ask me that. And I remember that I started, and we have a we pray in the the beginning of our meal, and I just started eating. And I remember one of my children looking up and saying, Dad, should we pray? I was like, no, I just want to eat. We have things to do. I need to get you to bed. I need to do this. We need to take showers. We need to do the bedroom team. And she looked at me so sweetly. She's like, Dad, do you want to pray? And I said, no. Would you pray? And she was like, sure. And so she prayed, and it was so sweet. But it was in that moment where I just didn't want to pray. It's not because it wasn't in our routine. It doesn't mean that I don't love to hear my kids pray. I just didn't want to pray. I just didn't want to pray. And the question that I always ask myself, like, why don't I want to pray? Why don't we want to pray? And I understand that the reality of our lives is we are social beings. We are busy beings. We are human beings. We have everything from being hungry to being busy to be social. We have things that are on our plates, emails that are coming through, text messages that are coming through. We are busy people. We are also distracted people. We are also distracted people. But there's also something different about, not just in that in terms of time and distraction, but what are the things that keep us from praying? I think we fear being naive. That there are things that we fear when we pray. Like we fear being naive. Like prayer is risky. Prayer is risky that you are praying to God who is going to, and you're asking to take control of certain situations, asking him to intervene. And maybe you were wondering, like, I'm praying a prayer, but I wonder, does God even care about this prayer? Like, I wonder if you've ever prayed and you're like, I don't know if this is even in the realm or the categories that God listens to. Or maybe we fear silence in a world that is so loud, that is constantly having internal voices or external voices just constantly at us, that if we sit down in a place where we intentionally sit and we want to pray in silence, we fear it. It causes us to be introspective, to be reflective. And in a world that's so loud, silence can be frightening. Or maybe we fear that when we pray, that we just have a long list of things that we want. That we want God to intervene, and maybe we just are so reflective of our prayers that we stop at the end of our prayers asking and hoping that God will speak, But then we reflect that, man, I just want God to be a vending machine bending to the wills of my days and my needs and my wants. Or maybe there's a place of we fear of error. There's so many places in our lives where we get wrong and then we learn from it. But there's something about prayer where we feel like we have to do it right. And if we don't know how to do it right, we don't do it. This is one of those things that can feel so heavy. It can feel so disorienting. Because as disciples of Jesus, we believe that we should know how to pray. We watch people pray. We pray. But then at the end of the prayer, we wonder if we're doing it right. But the reality is prayer is more practice than it is theory. It's more practice than it is theory. One of the things that I have been doing lately that I love doing is that I've started to coach softball for my kids. And my favorite drill for my kids is teaching girls to catch pop-ups. And I got really excited about this drill. And you might be like, why are you so excited about pop-ups? Because the way that I've done this is we call the girls over. And I don't really start to explain it to them. But I say, hey, girls, drop the gloves. Put on your face masks. And now what we're going to do is we're going to catch pop-ups. But I don't want you to catch it with your hands. I want you to catch it with your face. And the kids are looking at me. I'm like, promise you, like, I'm not going to use a hard ball. I'm going to use a wiffle ball. And so I get the wiffle balls out and I'm like, okay, now girls, I'm going to toss it up and I want you to catch it with your face. And so these girls, I'm just popping up. They just do what you say. This is amazing. I can throw it up and they're like, right? And it's hitting it and they're like, yeah, high five. And as they get back and they're just going through and they're catching it with their face. And then we say, okay, now girls, good job. You're catching it with your face because you're getting under the ball. Now catch it with your hand. Catch it with your glove hand. So they're catching it with their glove hand, just barehanded. They're just catching it. It's right underneath it. Same thing. Sometimes they catch it. Sometimes it drops out of their hands. And then I'm like, all right, great job, girls. And now we're going to do it with the gloves. And then they get the gloves and they're catching it. Sometimes it's popping out, but they're doing the same thing. They're catching it with their face. And then we move on to the hard balls. And now all of a sudden something happens. They're like, right? They're just trying to dodge it. And I'm like, girls, girls, girls. So who has the guts to catch one of these hard balls with the face? I was like, who wants to throw it to me and catch it with my face? And it's just so funny because the reality that the same thing is with prayer. The more you do it, the better you get at it. The more you do prayer, the better you get it. In the same way that I'm asking these girls to practice, practice isn't perfection. Practice makes progress. You might feel awkward at the beginning of prayer. You might feel like you are just not doing it right and you're sitting there and you're like, I don't know how to do this. But the more you pray, the more you find your groove. The more you practice prayer, the more you, the way you find your experience of praying is you begin to just do and it begins to flow as you continue to practice and practice. The funny thing is true, like you might feel like in prayer, that you might be without a glove, without a face mask, and you're just taking prayer on the chin. Maybe we need to take prayer, and maybe it needs to hit us in the face every once in a while. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe we just need to be like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to go back to the beginning, and I'm just going to stand right here, and I'm going to take it in the chin. But really, this is just what happens. Even with the disciples in Matthew chapter 6, this is what the disciples of Jesus say, teach us how to pray. And these are disciples who had gone through, who probably know the first five books of the Bible by memory. They have memorized it. They have probably prayed at the temple. They have prayed at Shabbat, at their homes. They have prayed. And they go to their rabbi and say, teach us how to pray. And what does he do? He prays. He just prays. He goes, they say, teach us how to pray, Jesus. And this is how he responds. This then is how you should pray. He prays. He doesn't give a theological explanation. He doesn't give the 5 points. He doesn't say, here's the Acts confession. Here's the different way, breath prayers, and all the ways that we have now. He just prays. He just prays. He just prays. This is what we call just practicing as you pray. That if you are already praying, you are already doing it right. Pray as you can. Pray as you are. If you're pissed, pray. Yell at God. If you've looked at the Psalms, man, there are times when David and other people are yelling at God. Who are you? What are you doing? Do you even know what you're doing, cosmic God? If you are devastated, pray your devastation. Lament. Yearn. Become a puddle. If you are joyful, pray your joyful celebrations. Pray the things that are happening that you can't even believe. If you are anxious, pray your anxiety. If you have something coming up that you are not prepared for, pray. If you are at the end of your rope and you have nothing left, just be. Just be. Come to God and say, this is all I got. And be. This is praying as you are. You are not to be asked to do anything but pray exactly where you are and how you are. And this is what happens in Exodus, is that all of a sudden, Moses is just walking around, and all of a sudden, the Lord transforms time and space. Time and space is transformed in the ordinary, in the routine, and now it has become holy. Now it has become sacred. Now it has become divine. Those moments that you pray and you're just sitting there praying as you are, your routine daily things, all of a sudden have a moment to become divine appointments. This is what happens. That the place in which Moses was walking, the desert, it was desolate. This wasn't a really great place. That this was a dry and dreary is almost like the place that Honi circled around, that it was nothing but desolation. It was empty. That word, like Horeb, was to describe not only an empty place, but a place that had been destroyed. A very lonely place of isolation. And it was a miserable place. It was a miserable place. It wasn't something that you would want to be at and you would want to be around. It was miserable. Think of the most miserable place there are that you could ever imagine. And it will be, think of the place where you are just at your worst, or a place that you would hide from and not want to go towards. Maybe it could be a place in your house. Maybe it could be your job. This was a miserable place, a place where you were alone, isolated, empty. And then this is what happens. When those routine places, those places of desolation, the deserts, the empty, dry places in your life, all of a sudden, God shows up. And it says this, take off your sandals. For the place where you are standing is holy ground. God says to Moses, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals. For the place that you are standing is holy ground. A moment from desolation to encompassing and enveloping the presence of God, the creator of all living and seen things, has now entered into time and space and has changed everything. It is no longer a desolate place, but it is a rich place. It is no longer empty, but it is filled with the presence of God, so much that you shouldn't go any closer, otherwise you are a threat of being killed. This is the moment from routine to divine appointments. This is the reminder that when you pray, when you and I pray, when we go to God, when you and I pray, it moves from routine moments, from empty spaces where you are just talking, or maybe you are just listening, a routine and just doing it because you're supposed to the moment where God shows up and fills the room, fills your heart, fills the space where you feel empty, where you're in your room, maybe alone, or maybe you're praying with chaos all around you, and all of a sudden, everything changes. This is what can happen when we pray.
that you can be tending to the garden, getting it ready for spring, getting it ready for summer, and all of a sudden this routine moment where you're putting your hand in the dirt and digging up, toiling the, or, you know, getting the soil all toiled and moving it around, digging up the fallow ground, and all of a sudden a moment of routine, just monotony of digging it up, all of a sudden comes to a divine moment where the Lord meets you in a place that you least expect it. This is a moment where maybe you're folding laundry. The bane of my existence. Folding laundry. All the stuff. You put everything through and now you're just sitting there hours upon hours folding. And all you're doing is like, man, I just need to pray because I am in a bad mood. And all of a sudden it goes from a routine appointment to a divine appointment. It's like, I know you don't like this. There are things in your life that you won't like. But do I have an opportunity to show up and live in those moments? And transform those moments. Maybe you're a person who likes to be in the lake or in the hot tub, and all of a sudden you're sitting there in isolation, just relaxing and relaxing, and you're beginning to just think and ponder about the ways of God, and all of a sudden everything changes. And the Holy Spirit shows up. And the waters are transformed. And that is no longer just a normal space, but it is a holy space. Where in the space that you need to talk to God and saying, this is just in a routine appointment. Maybe this is the side of your bed. Maybe this is in your closet. Maybe this is on your drive from home to work or from just errands or being an Uber parent where you're just doing the routine things. And all of a sudden it can be an opportunity where the Lord shows up and creates a divine moment. Maybe it's walking around that same park that you've done 100 times. And it's just a routine you do because you want to be physically healthy. But what if that place and space is transformed to holy ground? What would happen in your life if you allowed those routine moments to become divine moments? In the same way that Moses was just tending sheep, not his own, but for his father-in-law, tending somebody else's sheep, just doing what you're supposed to, and all of a sudden you allow time and space to be transformed in your life, not for your own sake, but for the sake of the Holy One, coming, revealing, transforming, changing. And maybe for the first time, maybe you've never experienced that. Where a routine moment changes to a divine moment and you're at awe. Everything stops. You put everything down. Because you ask the question, why would God visit a person like me? And the question I ask is, why not? Why not you? Why not me? Why would he not visit his children? If you're sons and daughters of the Most High God, why not you? What are we putting in the way where we are having just routine moments and they can't be moments to be with the Father? What barriers are we putting up that we believe that we are outside of the will? This is Moses. He's like, I've killed people. I am outside the will of God. I am outside the community. I have been exiled from my people even though they are over here and I used to be in a prominent place of power. There's no reason that God would show up for me. Yet in the routine, his curiosity beckons him closer. How many of us have had that moment where in your life you have something's different in the air? You can feel it in the atmosphere. Something is changing, and instead of being curious about it and going and seeking it, we walk away. But instead of this moment, because maybe you don't feel like you're worthy. Maybe you don't feel like God should show up. Maybe you feel like I'm so sinful. He doesn't know what I've done. Let me tell you something. He does. He knows. And yet he still shows up. The reality that of what teaches here is that in the routine daily thing that Moses was doing yesterday, and he'll probably do it tomorrow, but today God showed up and changed everything. I don't know about you, but that changes something in me. If I can be do my routine things and all the same thing that I'm going to do yesterday, that I'm doing today, and I'm going to do tomorrow, and you tell me that there's an opportunity where the Lord will enter into my time and space and change everything, I want that. That makes me remind when Jesus says, when you pray, that tells me that I want to change all these routine appointments to be conversations when I'm driving from here to there, from A to B. I'm going to turn off the radio, turn off all the noises so that I might have an opportunity, possibly, to hear from the Lord, to change everything. Maybe it's to change the course of your life. Maybe it's a chance to change the course of your day. Maybe you're going in a place where you are just upset, isolated, anxious, depressed, and all of a sudden God enters in and says, child, be still, for I am with you. Whom shall you fear? If that's not what you don't want, you want, like, I want a meeting from the Holy God. I absolutely need it. I am exhausted in working off of an empty tank without it. And I'm curious that when I pray, I'm in anticipation that the Lord might show up, that the Holy Spirit might descend and might give me a word that I need right then. Do you believe it's possible that in the same way that God showed up for Moses and has showed up over millennia, that he could show up in your time and your space because he loves you? And because so many times he shows up when his people pray? Why wouldn't we pray? Why wouldn't we do it wrong for the chance for God to show up and even say, hey, Austin, you're doing it wrong. Like, fine, great, tell me how to do this. Shut up. Okay, great. I'm quiet. You go ahead, talk. Come on. Like, I don't care. Whatever it is that the Lord wants to tell me right then, I'm there for it. Are you there for it? Are you willing in the daily routine of your life to say, whatever you got, Lord, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, wherever and whenever and whatever, change time and space. Cause me at my work to be a fool and take my shoes off because it's holy ground. Because the Lord has showed up in my office, in the chaos, and people are going to look at me strange, but that's fine because I would rather have the God of all of creation show up in my office, in my space, so that he might give me a word to remind me that I am a son, that you're his son and you're his daughter. And he would love nothing more than to talk to you, to encourage you, to heal the wounds that you have yet to let him touch and heal, because you have been so worried. You've been so fearful. And so this is how things are going to change. Throughout this Lent, we are going to participate in what we are going to prayer practices. Because I think some of us are like, I don't know what to do. And I didn't know what to do for a long time. And I wish that I had people in my life and I had pastors that were like, hey, just try this. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try. And it might not be you. But this is what we're going to do. What I want you to do this week is I want you to take the first 5 minutes before your feet ever hit the ground. I want you to pray. I wonder what our lives would look like if we just changed the way we begin. I wonder if the beginning would change our middle and our end. It's really easy. It's a pray as you are. When you wake up, before you turn over, before you put your feet on, before you attend to your own needs, attend to the needs that you have with your Father. And that might mean for you, if you're a routine person that gets up at a certain time, it means you might have to get up earlier. 5 minutes earlier. Or if you've got kids, you might need to like set it back 30 minutes. Because maybe you need that cup of coffee. Whatever it is, the routine of the first 5 minutes of your days has the opportunity to change the rest of your days. So church, I'm asking you, I'm challenging you every day this week. 5 minutes. Set an alarm. If five's a lot, 2 minutes. If 2 minutes is a lot, because you got a really needy like moment, or you're like me, you wake up too late and you got to hustle and bustle, give them 30 seconds. Just practice the presence of God in the routine of everybody wakes up every day. And maybe the only thing that you say is the same way that the people have responded to God whenever he's spoken. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Because maybe we need to be a little bit more like Honi. That even if you believe that you no longer hear from God, maybe you need to believe that God can still hear you. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we take a breath in and we breathe out. We open our ears to hear. We acknowledge the desolate places that are in our lives right now. What are you saying? What word is for us this morning? Holy Spirit, where are you calling us to have courage to sit in a circle and not move until God moves? What in our lives do we need to circle? Holy Spirit, speak a word, a phrase. We're desperate for you. We ask this in your name. Amen.